Hey, Thrive Tribe, we're so glad that you decided to join us today. Man, we cannot wait to see what the Lord wants to do in and through today's message. Today, we're talking about blank your enemy, man. And the great thing is you get to fill in that blank. We also want to give you an opportunity if you'd like to support the church. You can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the giving tab. As always, we just count it a blessing if you would take time to rate the podcast wherever you review it. It just helps us reach more people. Without any further waiting, let's jump right into today's message. Good morning, Thrive Tribe. Man, we are so excited for you to be here. I know this has been a crazy season here at Thrive Church. We have just had a ton of folks that have been sick and been battling stuff. And we felt like the safest thing we could do is just take a step back. But man, I'm just going to tell you what, I can't wait to see everybody next week, man. The 24th, I know that Liz and the worship team, they're planning just to absolutely roll out the red carpet and worship. I can't wait to see physical people again. It's been since Christmas, I think, since I have physically seen anybody. And man, we're ready to do that. As I sat and I got ready to prepare this week's message and was just really just before the Lord, I think that there are a ton of things that Jesus has said that really, I don't even know that challenged is the right word, that really just absolutely, man, they just smoke our way of thinking. So I couldn't help but think, and I gave this week's message a little bit of an interesting title. The title of this week's message is Blank Your Enemy. Blank Your Enemy. Matter of fact, if you want my message notes, you can go to YouVersion. Go down to the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. You can find events. You can click on events. We're in the 27215 zip code if you're not local. But you can actually search our church, find Thrive Church, click on it, and you can actually get all the scriptures and notes from this week's message. And if you log in, it's a free app. It has a bunch of versions of the Bible. It's where we do a lot of our devotional plans at. You can actually type in your own notes and have them for later. Because this week's message is not one where you can just listen to it, give it a golf clap, and move on. Well, I guess you could, but it really wouldn't do you any good. This week's message is really one of those messages where you need to dive into it. I'll be honest with you, as I read it, I actually fell under conviction as I prepared it. As I went through it, I was like, Lord, there's some ways where Jesus said some tough stuff that I don't know that I can 100% live up to. Most of my scripture, if not all of my scripture, references this morning are going to be right from the voice of Jesus himself. There's nobody better to quote. But in this world and in the time that we live in, it seems like the lines between us and them, no matter what side of political aisles, any other aisles that you can sit on, it just seems like we're being driven to this place to between us and them, that it's us and against our enemies. And our enemies have become so much more apparent to who we're supposed to be against and to who we dislike, and people's opinions and feelings and whatever have just created this division between people to where we see a ton of the world that Jesus called us to love as our enemy. And so I titled this morning's message, Blank Your Enemy. And here's the amazing thing, is you're going to get to fill in the blank. Because when you drive down the interstate, a lot of times you get cut off by somebody and automatically they become your enemy. And how you fill in that blank. What about somebody who politically sees the world different than you do? And so automatically you see them as your enemy. And then you get blank your enemy. And honestly, a lot of times what we fill in the blank with is totally different than what Jesus did and what Jesus called us to do. Matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. Luke chapter 6, 27 and 28. Scripture reads this way. Jesus said, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. What in the world is Jesus talking about? That is not at all the way I want to do that. Listen to what Jesus says. He said this. He said, but I say to you who hear, who's he talking to? Anybody who can hear Jesus talk. This morning, you're hearing Jesus talk, hopefully through me. You're hearing him talk through the scripture that he left behind. These are Jesus' texts to you. I feel like these are Jesus' texts to you in this season. Jesus said this. He said, instead of filling in the blank with a curse word or with some derogatory adjective towards your enemy, here's what Jesus said. He said, but I say this to you, those who hear, that I want you to love your enemies. What? I want to love people who love me. I want to love people who tell me how good I am. I want to love people who encourage me. I want to love people who compliment me. I want to love people who are like me. I want to love people who see the world through my lens and who aren't whatever adjective I want to fill in there. Man, those are the people I want to love. But Jesus said this. He said, man, I want you to love the people that see the world totally opposite of you. And then he goes on and he said this. He said, I want you to do good to people who hate you. That's not at all what I want to do. What I want to do, I want to do good to people who are good to me, and I want to do mean things to people who do bad things to me. As a matter of fact, I am a plotter. Now, thank God, since Jesus, I don't execute any of these plots. I don't carry any of these out. But if somebody does something to me, I think five steps ahead on how I could get them back. I'm like, well, if they do this, then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to write, because that's the way my mind thinks. But Jesus said this. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to do good to people who do bad to you. I want you to do good to people who hate you. Then look at verse 28. He said in this, he said, I want you to bless those who curse you. When was the last time you were ever going down the interstate and somebody cut you off or flipped you off and the first thing you did was stick your hand up with all your fingers up and you blessed them? Lord, keep that car safe. Keep that driver safe. Lord, will you just watch after that driver and their family? Lord, will you just cause great... Man, what Jesus is doing here is Jesus is causing us to look at our enemies and absolutely see the world through a different lens and through a different context. And what I want to ask you this morning is, are you willing to take a journey to see how the Lord wants you to deal with your enemies? Matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. Now, here's the thing that I think. I think that a lot of us are misguided on the people that we're supposed to love. We're misguided on how we're supposed to treat our enemies. And to be honest with you, we're not the only ones. If you read this, it says this. This, again, is Jesus talking. Jesus said, you've heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Can I be honest with you? That's what most of us still do. We still love our neighbor and we hate our enemy. We still love the people that are easy to love, and we hate the people who seem to be against everything that we're for. Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do you hear what a paradigm shift from our culture to really be a Christ follower, what a paradigm shift it is on the way that we're to deal with people who see the world different than us? How people that are even enemies of God, because you got to remember this, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to save for the very people that we hate. People that we call our enemy are actually God's purpose. He said this, he said, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Watch verse 45. So that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. Jesus said this. He said, if you really want to be a son or a daughter of Christ, then you've got to learn to love your enemies the way that God loved the very people that persecuted Jesus. He said, man, you've got to learn to love on a deeper level. You've got to learn to love your enemies. He said, and that's really how you become a son or a daughter of God. Verse 46, he said, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Jesus looks and he said, you know, if you only love the people who love you and you only love the people who are like you, man, how are you different than anybody else? See, as Christ followers, what we're really called to be is we're called to be different. We're called to be like Jesus. Man, one of the ways that we're the most like Jesus is how we treat the people who are the least like Jesus. He said, do not even tax collectors do the same. Verse 47, and if you only greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? He said, man, if you're only If you're only reaching out and loving the people who you're supposed to love, how are you any different than the worst of the people? Matter of fact, in biblical times, tax collectors were oftentimes Jewish people that were now working for the Roman Empire. So they were like the turncoat of turncoats. They were like the most unpatriotic, the most un-Jewish people you could think of. And Jesus looked and said, man, how if you don't love your enemies different than the way everybody else does, how can anybody see me in you? I love this. Do not even the Gentiles do the same? And in this context, Gentiles were considered sinners. He said, man, do not even sinners love the same way? Verse 48, therefore you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, first of all, the minute God calls me to be perfect, I start telling him every reason why I can't. But what he's saying in this is he said, look, if you really want to be like Jesus, then you have to become as close to perfect in your love for your enemies as humanly possible. You've got to begin to love the unlovely. You've got to begin to see the fact that Jesus loved you when you were unlovely. So because of that, you've got to love people who don't seem like they deserve love. And you've got to love people who act different and talk different and are for everything you're against. Matter of fact, it took me to this place where I'm like, what's the rule on your enemy, right? So because what we oftentimes want to do, I was a youth pastor for a long time, and what every teenager wanted to know was how close to sin can I get and still go to heaven, right? When they were dating, they would ask this question, how far is too far? Because we want to go as far as we can without actually sinning, right? So as adults, we pick on teenagers, but really are we a whole lot different? Matthew 7:12, Jesus is talking, and he says this. He said, you know, this is pretty much the rule on your enemies. So whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Man, what Jesus is saying is something that we hopefully learned in kindergarten. It's called the golden rule. And it's called the golden because anything I think Jesus calls us to do becomes golden, man. It becomes valuable. And here's the thing, that when we're dealing with our enemies, if we will do to our enemies what we wish our enemies would do to us, we would fulfill every scripture that was written. Man, if we would look at our enemy and we would love them and we would pray for them. I hear a lot of people, I probably get 3 phone calls or more a day, and people are asking me about the political fallout and about what's going on in the world and this and that. And here's the question that I try to leave with everybody. How much time are you spending loving your enemy, and how much time are you spending praying for your enemies? How much time are you doing for them what you wish they were doing for you? How much time are you spending praying for the people that believe everything contrary to what you believe? Jesus said this, if you really want to fulfill the law of the prophets, man, what you've got to do is you've got to begin to look, act, and talk like Jesus does when it comes to your enemy. You've got to fill in the blank your enemy different. Jesus sets this crazy ultimate standard for the way that we're supposed to forgive. Like, I'm going to be honest with you, if you really sit down and ponder what this statement is and the context of the statement, man, it will cause you to view every enemy you have different. And it comes from Luke chapter 23, 33 through 34. Luke chapter 23, 33 through 34. So Luke 23, verse 33 through 34. When they came to that place that's called the skull, and they crucified him. What happens when you come to the place where you're really ready for your flesh to die? What happens when you come to the place when you're really ready to be more like Jesus? Man, have you had that place of the skull moment? Because you can be going to heaven, but your flesh, Galatians 5 lays out the works of the flesh. One of them is anger. One of them is, right? So when you come to your place of the skull, when you come to your cross, when you really come to the place when you're dealing with your enemies, when you say, you know what, I'm ready for some stuff to die. There they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. Jesus had been tortured. He'd been hung between two criminals. He watched his clothing be settled on who was going to take it home, and he'd watch people put crowns of thorns on him, and he was mocked and spit on, and all this stuff that he didn't deserve, but yet strung out on a cross in agony, preparing to give up the ghost, preparing to atone for all the sin of humanity. Jesus prays this prayer: Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Can we pray for our enemies? Can we pray for those who persecute us and who are for what we're against and who lie about us and who do bad to us and who do it? Can we put it in the context of Jesus and begin to live a life? Can we crucify our flesh and our own desires and our want for revenge? Can we crucify that all to the point where we say, Father, forgive my enemy because they don't even know what they're doing? Can we care more about their eternal destiny than we do our temporary need for revenge? Man, today I'm asking you to come to a place with me where part of your flesh dies, or a part of your flesh is crucified. Because I'm going to tell you what this world needs more than anything is it needs Christians who can love and forgive and treat their enemy the way that Jesus wants them to be treated. Matter of fact, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says this. He said, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. And if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven, he said this, praying, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you, forgive your trespass. He said, man, you've got to forgive their trespass the same way that you want God to forgive your trespass. In other words, you have to ask God to forgive your sin the same way you're willing to forgive somebody else's sin. And man, there's this correlation between our ability to be close to God and our ability to forgive. And say, man, we're going to blank our enemy. What's the verb there? What's the action that we're going to take place? How are we gonna treat? How are we gonna interact? How are we gonna action our enemy? Now, honestly, a lot of times, hopefully before this message, this wasn't true, but for a lot of us it was. A lot of times the verb that we used was not a God-given verb. When we said blank my enemy, oftentimes we were cursing our enemy and we were mistreating our enemy and we were paying evil for evil. And Jesus said this, he said, man, I don't want you to do that. I want you to forgive. Man, how's the verb? How are you going to live your life when it comes to your enemy? I love Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 22. And then Peter came up to him saying, now can I ask a question? Is anybody really surprised that Peter was the one that's about to ask this question? Because Peter's dealing with forgiven folks and he's dealing with the world around him. And Peter asked this question. It said, and then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Man, I hate when the Bible steps on my toes. People all the time try to tell me that the Bible isn't applicable. But this is the same question that people ask me all the time. Well, how many times am I supposed to forgive them? How many times should I let them do me wrong? Well, now here's the thing. We should learn, you know, if a dog bites me once, I'm not going to reach out to pet it twice. Is that fair? But here's the thing. It also doesn't mean that I've got to go beat the dog to death. And what we do a lot of times is this, is we get done wrong and I think that oftentimes what we want to do is we want to react in a way that's greater than the offense. We want to make sure that nobody gets over on us and that nobody takes advantage of us and that nobody, right? And so Peter's asking the same question. Peter's like, man, so these people have done me wrong. You know, those Republicans or those Democrats or those liberals or those conservatives or those this kind of person or those, how many times am I supposed to forgive them, Jesus? Come on now. Come on. Surely there's an end to this. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times for every offense. You offend me once, I'll forgive you 77 times for that one offense. What he's really saying is, Peter, love your enemy. Peter, Love is an action. Peter, pray for your enemy. Prayer is an action. It's the verb. It's the blank. Peter, forgive your enemy. Because that's the verb. That's the action. Today, Jesus is looking at some people that are here and he's saying this. I need you to fill in the blank before your enemy with the verb of love. I need you to fill in the blank before your enemy with the verb of prayer. And I need you to fill in the blank of of your enemy with the verb of forgive. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Man, you don't know what they did to Jesus on the cross. Scripture clearly tells us that he was beaten beyond all recognition. And in doing so, and he died, and he bled, and he was tortured, and he was all these things. And some of you may have had a similar experience, but I'm here to tell you that when Jesus tells us to forgive, it's because this. He said, man, when you love, and when you forgive, and when you pray for your enemy, that's where real change happens. It not only happens in their life, but it happens in yours. Forgiveness and the way you treat your enemy is always about you first and them second. Because when God crucifies that part of your flesh, man, it frees you to love unconditionally. It frees you to pray without reservation. It allows you to forgive in a way that's so deep that you become real sons and daughters of Christ. So I don't know what you need to forgive today. I don't know how this needs to totally roll out in your life, because I'm going to be honest with you. There are so many areas of my life right now where I need to love my enemy and I need to forgive my enemy and I need to pray for my enemy that I honestly, when I sat back and took an honest look at this, man, there was so much more room for me to be Christ-like. Especially in this season. People always want to tell me how dark this season is. But man, I'm here to tell you, if we go all the way back to when Rusty Sloan spoke and he talked about, if you haven't read that message or listened to that message, it's called First Light. It's on our website. It's in our podcast list. But he was a helicopter pilot and they went looking for two guys and the guys had gone somewhere they weren't supposed to go. Outside the search grid, their boat sank and they were supposed to be in this one area. Come to find out they drifted way beyond it. A series of God events led to them being found, one of which was in this darkness. The two brothers decided they were going to smoke a cigarette and die. Only time smoking's ever saved anybody, he said. And when they flipped the match, that little bit of light in that vast darkness was picked up. How bright can your light shine in all this darkness going on in our world right now? And I'm not going to put my head in the sand and say that it's not dark. Man, our world is dark right now. But man, what an opportunity for light to shine. When Jesus walked the face of this earth, sin and mean and unforgiveness and all this stuff was so big that the way he loved and the way he forgave shined so bright. I'm here to tell you this, that if you'll love and you'll forgive like Jesus, if you'll love your enemy, if you'll forgive your enemy, if you'll pray for your enemy over and over and over, because that's the same forgiveness you need. If you're watching today and you say, Pastor, I can't give that love away because I've never received it. Man, I want you to know this, that Jesus paid for your sins and he wants to forgive you. Scripture says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but through his son the world might have eternal life. Man, Jesus loved you so much that while you were probably like me, an enemy of God, man, I didn't believe in God, I didn't trust God, God loved me so much that he died for me anyway, and he died for you. And man, today, if you've never accepted Jesus, right now I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So if you're watching online or you're listening in your car, however you're taking this in, right now I'm going to challenge you to raise your hand and just say, God, I need you. And I want to pray a prayer with you that you can accept Jesus, because man, you can't forgive until first you're forgiven. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, pray it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, right now I invite you into my heart. God, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins, all the times I've done wrong, I've thought wrong, and I've acted wrong. Today, I want to be right with you. Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here's what we believe. We believe that Jesus came and he died for the forgiveness of sin. And those of you that accepted Jesus right now, we celebrate with you. Matter of fact, Scripture says all of heaven celebrates with you. Because, man, when somebody comes to know Jesus, man, that's the ultimate pinnacle of what we think the mission of the church is for. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. Man, that lost people are reunited with God. But I'm here to tell you this. You didn't do anything to earn your salvation. Jesus paid for it all. He forgave you when he didn't have to. So to all of us who have accepted Jesus and those new people that have accepted Jesus, here's the thing. We got that free. We didn't have to go to the cross. We didn't have to die. We didn't have to pay for anything. Freely we got it. Scripture says, freely you receive, freely give. So I'm going to challenge you as you go through the rest of this week, the rest of this month, and honestly, the rest of your life. I pray that today's message haunts you in a Holy Spirit kind of way. I hope that it causes you to look at your enemy in the same way that Jesus looks at him. Man, with love and with compassion and with prayer. And man, no matter how wrong people have done you, no matter how wrong people may be doing you right now, will you take time to pray for and in doing so, your enemy, in doing so, man, you become so much more like Jesus. Because Jesus saved you when he didn't have to. He's going to challenge you to forgive when you don't have to. Man, I pray that today's message has blessed you. I hope that today's message has impacted you. I'm going to be honest with you. If it didn't impact you, it sure impacted me. Because there are a lot of people around this world that I was beginning to look at as the enemy and not as my mission. Because Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. Man, people that are doing wrong are not the enemy of the church. They're the purpose of the church. Man, people that have done me wrong are not my enemies. Man, I want to forgive them. I want to pray for them because my prayer is that they become right with God. Man, politicians that are doing just crazy things that are against God, they're the people we need to pray for. We need to pray for them every day. We need to love them. We need to love them enough that they repent and that they turn their lives around, that they go to heaven. Because, man, it's not God's will that any perish, but that all should have eternal life. And, man, if God doesn't see him as an enemy, but rather a cause, I can't see him any other way either. The people that cut you off on the interstate, somebody's probably listening to this on a podcast and you're chasing somebody down to flip them off. Man, don't do that. Pray for them. Pray a blessing over them. Pray that the Lord touches them. Pray that the Lord keeps them. Because when we do that, we become like Jesus. And the goal of all of us Christ followers are to love and be like Jesus. Man, I pray you have a great week. I pray that you choose to fill in the blank of your enemy with love. And you choose to pray in the blank of your enemy with forgiveness. And you choose to fill in the blank of your enemies with blessing. And in so doing, man, you're going to become so much more like Jesus than you ever thought possible. And the world around you will see it like a light in an ocean. God bless you. We hope you have an amazing week. We'll see you here next week. God bless. Thanks again so much for joining us, man. We pray that today's message blessed you and ministered to you. As always, we'd love for you to take time to rate and review the podcast. Also, if there's anything our church can do to bless you, be sure to email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. God bless you. We hope you have a great week.